Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Welcome you to MPH Radio. Today is Saturday, December 15, 2018. Our theme for today is Things You Need to Know. Along with this theme, Things You Need to Know, we have a feature item that we would like to bring to Missing Pages History. And for today's program, if everything goes all right and we get the proper connection in West Africa, we'll be speaking to Sister Celine from West Africa, Cameroon. She'll be giving you an update on the issues that are going on in Cameroon and how it's affecting our communities throughout the world. We hope to have her live, but She is functioning under a very stressful situation, and we hope to have her. But that's the lineup for today. Like always, you are listening to Missing Pages of History. We seek to serve communities. And one of the things we want to do is provide you information so you can think. And more importantly, we want to provide you information so you can think clearly. When we talk about Missing Pages of History, we understand as a oppressed community, we have been lacking in terms of learning our history, because so much of our history has been left out of the history book. So one of the major contributions we are setting out to do on an institutionalized basis is to fill in those missing pages. And to do that, we need you, you the people, because you are the history makers. You're the ones who make history, and you're the ones who must protect and preserve the history. But to do that, we need some form, some platform, some kind of tool to do this. So we hope that MPH will be one of the tools that you will help come and build for our people and for all of humanity. So again, we welcome you to today's program, MPH radio program. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to quote two quotes that we call giving you something to think about. Two quotes we want you to think about, and later on the program you may respond to it. So there were two quotes. One was by Brother Malcolm X, who once stated, once he said, "I have always felt that the black leader whom white men consider to be responsible is invariably the black leader who never get any results." Let me read again. "I have always felt that the black leader whom white men consider to be responsible is invariably the black leader who never get any results." Is there any truth to that statement? Does it exist today? Think about that, and later on we'd like for you to respond to that. As well as the other quote for this week from MPH, come from Samora Machel, the first president of Mozambique. He once stated that the day you hear the white speak of me in good terms, that day do not share your secrets with me, because that means I would have betrayed you already. Now, that's really interesting. Let me just read the statement again. He stated that the day you hear the white speak of me in good terms, that day do not share your secrets with me, because that means I would have betrayed you already. Did that bring back any memories? So those are the quotes for the day, and later on we'd like for you to weigh in on it and give you something to think about. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we have a segment called Learning History for our Black Mini Page, MPH with Susie. There are some history that is in the history book, but many of us don't know about it because it's not institutionalized. We've chosen three particular black men facts that we think will be very important. So please get your pen and pencil, write this down as we go through this. And it's something that we need to know that most people do not know about. And we're going to do this in about 2 minutes. We're going to pause for this call, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our MPH Black Men Facts for today with Sister Susie. We'll be right back. You'll listen to the voice of Missing Pages.
We'll be right back.
Page Radio. This is the voice of Missing Page History. If they don't care about you, we do. We want to let you know that. And the best way to care about a person is not only to think about them, but to act towards alleviating the conditions that they are facing. So in this case, for our underserved communities, we can put our thought into action, and with our action, we hope we can transform our communities into better communities where our people can be all that they can be. So again, we welcome you back to Missing Pages of History, and one of the best ways to transform our community is through learning our history. You know, often people say, he who controls your history will control you. And we find there's a lot of truth to that, because whenever you see oppressed people, one of the things you'll find is that their history is normally controlled and written by outside forces and not by them. This is where you get your identity. This is where you get your essence. This is in reference to how you will be able to function in a normal way, in a proper way, by you understanding the essence of what you are, why you are, and what you want to do. This can all be viewed through the history of a people, through the struggle of a people, through the movements of the people. So on Missing Pages of History, we come to play our crucial role again of trying to restore the information that has been lost, stolen, or gone astray. So at this point in time, we have a segment that is called Learning History through MPH Mini, Black Mini Facts with Susie. Susie, we now return the mic over to you. The mic is yours.
Hello. Good evening. Okay, before there was Rosa Parks, there was Claudette Colvin. Most people think of Rosa Parks as the first person to refuse to give up their seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. There were actually several women who came before her, one of whom was Claudette Colvin. In March the 2nd, 1955, when a 15-year-old schoolgirl refused to move to the back of the bus, 9 months before Rosa Parks. Stand that launched the Montgomery bus boycott. Claudette has been studying black leaders like Harriet Tubman in her segregated school. Those conversations had led to discussions around the current day Jim Crow laws they were all experiencing. When the bus driver ordered Claudette to get up, she refused. It felt like Sojourner Truth was on one side pushing me down and Harriet Tubman was on the other side of me pushing me down. I couldn't get at. Claudette Colvin's stand didn't stop there. Arrested and thrown in jail, she was one of four women who challenged the segregation law in court. If Browder versus Gale became the court case that successfully overturned bus segregation laws in both Montgomery and Alabama. Why was Claudette's story being largely forgotten? At that time, the NAACP and other black organizations felt Rosa Parks made a better icon for the movement than a teenager. As an adult with the right look, Rosa Parks was also secretary of the NAACP and was both well known and respected. People would associate her with the middle class, and that would attract support for the cause. But the struggle to end segregation was often fought by young people, more than half of which were women. And that's the story of Claudette Colvin. Black History Mini Fact.
You know, Susie.
The next one.
You know, Susie, before you go on, I would just like to say that's really interesting, that particular story, because I've never heard of a Claudette Colvin. Now, as you researched that particular segment or topic of our history as relates to this sister Claudette, what were some of the things came to your mind in terms of the relevancy of knowing this? And some of the things, how history is written today, even when it comes to writing history among ourselves.
Okay, the thing of it is, like you say, in the educational system now, a lot of our history is left out. And this is one thing we do black history in the month of February, which should be a year-round event, but it's people like this Claudette Colvin that's been out there where we could research and find out what's really the truth among our history. And this young lady, she was one of the beginning of the total several women that came before Rosa Parks. And this is a history that we need to also let our children know in the schools.
And, you know, Sister Susan, I would like to get your response. And in this audience, I'd like to have your response. You can write in to us and tell us what you think. When we talk about this particular aspect of our history, dealing with Sister Claudette, one of the things among ourselves as oppressed people, we also must acknowledge, Susie, is even among ourselves, there are still ongoing issues of colorism as it relates to ourselves. We still have this mindset that certain pigmentation among ourselves are better and smarter than others. We still go along with these characteristics that if you're lighter, there seem to be more respect, there seem to be more people think you're brighter, there seem to be that more people are given access to certain things. Now, that's the colorism, even among ourselves. And we talk about writing history. We also talk about this question, a class question, Susie. There seems to be a tendency that if you don't fall under a certain group, if you don't have certain status or certain wealth, people have a tendency to not to acknowledge contributions from those who may not have the same kind of material wealth that they have. What you make of these dynamics, Susie? How do we deal with that?
These kind of dynamics basically is got to be taught from when a young kid, letting them know that regardless of how you look, you're still bright, intelligent, and you can do anything that you want to do. And if you want to take a stand, it doesn't make a difference on your color. But we just need to start with the little babies, and we start teaching them that you're important regardless to what your color is, and don't let no one else change their mind from that fact.
And speaking of that, Susie, we made an extra point style with our youth, the little babies. We need to teach our kids a new way. We're going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we can continue our little Black Men of Facts as it relates to our people. We're going to pause for the station break. glad to welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. This is MPH Radio. As we left on, we were giving you some black men facts, lessons and things we need to learn from our history. These are histories that has been documented, but it's not well known among our people. So what we have done at MPH is to create a vehicle to make sure we institutionalize this information. One of the things as human beings, we must learn that without information, you cannot think. So we want to give our people the proper information. So we'll continue in terms of learning these black men facts with Susie. Susie, continue to share some more information on another black men fact that our people need to know.
Okay, another black men fact is the inoculation to America by a slave. Few details are known about the birth of Wondermush, but it is assumed he was born in Africa in the late 17th century before eventually landing in Boston. One of 1,000 people of African descent living in the Massachusetts colony, Wondermush was a gift to the Parisian church minister Cardin Mather from the congregation in 1706. Wondermush told Mather about the centuries-old tradition of inoculation practice in Africa. By extracting the material from an infected person and scratching it onto the skin of an uninfected person, you could deliberately introduce smallpox to the healthy individual, making them immune. Considered extremely dangerous at the time, Cotton Mather convinced Dr. Boyston to experiment with procedure when a smallpox epidemic hit Boston in 1721 and over 240 people were inoculated. Opposed politically, religiously, and medically in the United States and abroad, public reaction to the experiment put Mather and Boston's life in danger. Despite records indicating that only 2% of patients requesting inoculation died compared to the 15% of people not inoculated who contracted smallpox. One of the most traditional African practice was used to inoculate American soldiers during the Revolutionary War and introduce the concept of inoculation to the United States. And that's just one more black mini fact.
You know, Susie, when I saw that particular mini fact, which I didn't know, I said to myself, this is another thing that my teacher never taught me in the classroom, in the history classroom. It's amazing in terms of when you talk about Africa and African influence and the gifts that it has given to the world. And the gifts, or not gifts, or let's say the creation, the creativity of Africa, how many of its creativity that its people produce has been taken from them and been given credit to other people. How many people actually have taken time to have any idea when you talk about science, when you talk about medicine? Here you have an African person teaching the world from what its people taught him how to inoculate other human beings. I find that amazing. What came to your mind when you read the article, Susie?
What came to my mind is the thing that when you think about inoculations, a lot of times we wonder if it's really to the benefit, especially for underserved communities and everything, but to realize that this one of us created this and started this type of inoculation, his thing was to save us versus having us die from different diseases and everything. And it's really something that we need to think about as a people when we are when we told by the doctor that we have to get certain shots and we do need to do our research regarding the shots. But in this instance, this was a great thing for us because it did work on the smallpox epidemic or keeping it lowered.
Yeah, so this is the particular mini fact. It brings out a lot of issues or or things that they never told us in reference to the ingenuity of African people. Because when you look at this particular minifact, it leads you to understand and believe that Africa must know a lot about medicine and science. This whole question of science, biology, what have you, there must have been a very well understanding of science in the human body, you know, just for this concept to come to fruition by this individual. Also, it leads me to believe that when you talk about this whole question of doctors and having the ability to become doctors, it's clear that from this example, it seems to me that becoming a doctor, if you're African, that's nothing new. We all have the capacity to become doctors and master the laws of science and biology and chemistry and physics. So when a young student learns this, it becomes very difficult for others to come and tell them that because you come from a group of people from Africa, it automatically means that you don't have the capability, you don't have the means to be able to do this particular task. Because this is one of the many examples that shows the world of the ingenuity, the level of unconsciousness, this whole question of understanding knowledge, creating knowledge, and being able to create a world in which, you know, human beings can live better. So I just thought that was real, real interesting. And we thank you for it. Now, you have one more for our listening audience.
Okay, the next one. We had 12.5 million Africans shipped to the New World during the transatlantic slave trade, but fewer than 388,000 actually arrived in the U.S. In the late 15th century, the advancement of seafaring technologies created a new Atlantic that would change the world forever. As ships began connecting West Africa with Europe and the Americas, new fortunes were fought and native populations were decimated. With the native labor force dwindling and demand for plantation and mining labor growing, the transatlantic slave trade began. The transatlantic slave trade was underway from 1500 to 1866, shipping more than 12 million Africans across the world. Of those slaves, only 10.7 million survived the dreaded Middle Passage. Over 400 years, the majority of slaves, 4.9 million, found their way to Brazil, where they suffered incredibly high mortality rates due to the terrible working conditions. Brazil was also the last country to ban slavery in 1888. By the time the U.S. became involved in the slave trade, it had been underway for 200 years. The majority of its 388,000 slaves arrived between 1700 and 1866, representing a much smaller percentage than most Americans realize. And that's a mini fact involving the slaves, and they are coming here to America.
Now, Susan, one of the things I think I draw from this, and others may also, is the essence of it shows you that the Pan-African mix of our people, that is said, we all came from Africa, and we were dispersed all around the world. But when you think about the history of African people in the geographical border of the United States, many Africans here think that they are in the minority. Well, this article seemed to point out that the majority of our people who were taken from home, who was kidnapped, who were stolen, that they never came to this territory. Most of them end up in South and Central America and the Caribbean. And that still exists today because when you look at the largest populations of Africans in the Western Hemisphere, you have more in South and Central America and the Caribbean than do in the United States. We're about the third largest body of people, of African, when we talk about the African population. Now, what that says to me also is that we are one family. It makes no difference whether you're born in Brazil or born in Cuba or born in El Salvador, or born in the United States, or born in Jamaica, we come from the same mother, the same family. We're just dispersed. And one of the facts I recently learned that would supplement this particular history you just read was that, you know, most Africans who came to U.S. did not come directly from Africa, but they came through the Caribbean, which means that many of our brothers and sisters, even biological lineage, you make a trace back to the Caribbean, because that's the route that we took. We did not have a direct route that went here from Africa straight to America, according to some recent sources that have been that recently has been revealed. So in terms of our people, we need to realize the oneness of us as one. We are all African people. So that's one of the things I think this article brought out to me. And one of the things I would like to say to the listening audience is when we talk about history and how we identify ourselves, we've got to be very careful in terms of how other people identify us. One of the things the West have a tendency of doing is they take away our humanity. They make us think we're a slave. African people was never slaves. We were human beings. We were human beings who just happened to be enslaved. There's a difference being a slave and being enslaved. We were always part of humanity. We are human beings, but they enslaved us, but we were never a slave. And our people need to know that, because psychologically, it gives out a different persona in terms of how we view ourselves. So that's what I took from that. You can give your general take on what you took from there. And then from there, we are going to another station break. And when we come back, we're expecting our sister from Cameroon, Sister Celine, calling in live from Cameroon to talk about what's going on in Africa. But if she doesn't call in, we have some interesting articles that we'd like to discuss with our listening audience and a future article dealing with global warming. So right now, Susan, anything you'd like to say in reference to that last article, and can you share with our people? Give the source, the people who did the work to create it, for researching this.
First of all, I'd like to thank the Black Culture Connection for their information regarding the Black Mini Facts. And as far as the slavery, the thing about it, out of 12.5 million, and it only arrived 388, it just shows us that apparently we weren't thought of as much, because that many people wouldn't have died in between the transition of getting here. And so we're looking at diseases, we're looking at probably a lot of violent things, a whole lot of different instances that ended up bringing it, this small amount that they end up bringing to the U.S. And that's all I have to say. And thanks again, once again, to Black Culture Connection for their information.
To the Me Too movement and all the other movements talking about justice and equality, we Africans are still waiting for our justice. So we're going to pause for this call, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some current events and articles of interest. And we'd like for you to join us in. Our phone line is open. You can join in by calling in at 818-337-0016. This is MPH Radio, Missing Pages of History. We'll be right back, and this is a song that can constantly remind you, since our arrival, we've been living on the front line. decided to put it at a time in a spot where it will be the least noticed. What is the rationale and the reason for this? Susie, what you make of this particular decision to talk about the important report that came out, how the Earth is constantly being in danger of being ridden, but at the same time, constant importance of how the Earth may have an impact on the rest of humanity. Many people in power feel like it's important to make sure the public will not be aware about this, so they chose to put it on a day where there's a business day where people were less likely to listen to such important information. What is the lesson from this? What did you get from this article, Susie?
The thing about it is humans causing it. The Earth climate is changing faster than any point in history of modern civilization, primarily as a result of human activities. The assumption that current and future climate conditions will resemble the recent past is no longer valid. And we have an administration that's ignoring this key fact that it's really a bad situation. Such, for example, humans have lived near oceans, assuming that the sea would not often move from its fixed location. They are planting wheat at its times and corn at times, assuming the harvest will often falter. They have delighted in December snow and look forward to springtime blossoms, assuming that the seasons will not shift from their course. But what's happening is the sea is lifting above its shore. The harvest is faltering, and the seasons arrive and depart in disorder. According to the report, laying simple fact on simple fact so as to build a terrible artifice, since 1901, the United States has warmed 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit. Heat waves now arrive earlier in the year and abate later than they did in the 1960s. Mountain snowpack in the West has shrunk dramatically in the past half century. 16 of the warmest 17 years on record have occurred since 2000. So when you look at all this that has happened, it's an issue that has to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed now. But we have an administration that feels that there really isn't a problem with global warming.
You know, Susie, I think when you read this article, if you look at the first paragraph, it set the tone for everything, and I like to read it to our listening audience, so it will give them a sense of why we cannot no longer sit back and let others take control of this issue. It states that most significantly, the National Climate Assessment, which is endorsed by NASA, NOAA, Department of Defense, and 10 other federal scientific agencies. Now, these agencies, their immunology contradicts nearly every position taken on the issue of President Donald Trump, where the president has insisted that fighting global warming will harm the economy. The report responds, climate change, if left unchecked, could eventually cost the economy hundreds of billions of dollars per year and kill thousands of Americans. The president has said that the climate will probably change back. The report replies, many consequences of climate change will last for millennia, and some, such as extinction of plant and animal species, will be permanent. MD right-wing institutions acknowledge this, and we still have this administration having people don't want to acknowledge this. But the bottom line is, Susie, what other people do, it can affect others that will come after them. So if we continue to allow people to dictate how they will deal with this issue or lack of issue of so-called climate change, then what they're also doing is dictating and affecting your probability of livelihood. And if you and your kids will have a future, I think this is what people need to know. These are the things that are not being properly taught and discussed in terms of severity of this particular issue. And listen, audience, please take a chance, check this article out. Today's theme is we are talking about things you need to know. Things you need to know. There are many black facts to our current event articles. Even to this, the quotes we started out with is, we made some quotes earlier where you talk about where Malcolm X stated that, I have always felt that black leaders who white men consider to be responsible is invariably the black leaders who navigate any resorts. And some more, Michelle once stated that, the day you heard the white speak of me in good terms, that's the day do not share your secrets with me because that means I would have betrayed you already. Things you need to know. What we're going to do, we're going to pause for this call. We're going back. We're going to do a closing and talk about some upcoming events, how you can support MPH. You are listening to Missing Pages of History.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Like to let the audience know we have an ongoing MPH radio programs, which is on Saturdays biweekly at 1 o'clock p.m. And then next several shows are January the 12th, January the 26th, and February the 9th of 2019. Also, we have our ongoing T-shirt and cap drive, and you can order online or you can give us a call at 804-726-3217 to request one. And we'd also like to remind you we have our upcoming MPH TV show, which is shown on Comcast Channel 95 and Fios Channel 36, and that's on Wednesday nights from 9 to 10. The fall 2019 schedule will be announced in the next couple of weeks. And also, last and final, we ask you to join and support us by going to our website, which is at www.mphinc.org. And we'd like to thank you for your support, and we also ask that we may continue to receive your support in the year of 2019.
Thank you, Susie. In closing to our listening audience, again, we'd like to thank all of you who have supported us in the past, who continue to support us, and those who want to support us. Please, you can contact us and write us at email at missingpageofhistory1@yahoo.com. And we also would like to let you know, you can see the encompassing task that we have put upon our shoulders. We help uplift our communities and move our people forward by going to our website, which is www.mphinc.org. If you see any of these tasks, programs, objectives, goals that we have established for ourselves and agree with them, then we ask you to come and join us, help us implement this. We can be no more greater than the participation of you. We need your participation. Come and join us. Again, we thank you for listening to this program. We wanted to go home to Africa with Sister Celine from Cameroon. Unfortunately, I know she's living in a very hostile condition right now, because there are some things going on not only in Cameroon but throughout Africa that are affecting our communities around the world. We're just hoping to bring that to you today, but we didn't do it today. We hope to be able to make this possible in the near future. Again, this will be our last program until 2019. We'll see you on, I believe, the 15th of January when we'll be on. Until then, please continue to strive to go forward, ever, backwards, never, and let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history so we can unball this ball of confusion that's going on right now. We'll see you in 2019. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Round and round we go.
Nation Autumn Hay.